The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Father Brian McWeeny and his friends and family. And I want this to be the best year ever for all our friends worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever. Folks, today we have Father Brian McWeeny, Director of Ecumenical Affairs and Interreligious Activities for the Archdiocese of New York. Today he inspires us with his message of peace, hope, and faith as we usher in Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well, they are considered the two most sacred
Jewish holidays and are known as the High Holy Days. The importance of Rosh Hashanah is not only in celebrating the new year, but also in remembrance, judgment, and blowing the shofar. And unlike most holidays, the origin of these two holidays is strictly religious and has nothing to do with noting any historical events. The Bible instructs all Jews to celebrate these important days by blowing the ram's horn or the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and by a series of prohibitions on Yom Kippur. This show is near and dear to my heart because it not only drives home why people of Jewish faith has it as being the most significant holidays, but why it is also cause for celebration for people of all faiths. You will understand why you don't have to be Jewish. So, Father Brian, please address our audience as to why you, a man of deep Christian faith, why you acknowledge these holidays.
Well, first of all, it's good to be back with you, and I'm glad that your health has been restored to the degree that you can still be a part of our wonderful community. You say in your introduction always that you hope it's the best of years. And certainly that's a very appropriate greeting in this time in which we are preparing to celebrate Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because this marks the beginning of a new year, of a new opportunity to serve God and our fellow man in a very special way. And in a way, the Jewish community is leading us all to reflect on the importance of renewal. We've had, in the recent years, difficult falls. The season began 1 year, as we know, 15 years ago, with the loss of the Twin Towers and the lives of over 3,000 people. And yet, Rosh Hashanah says, there's light. We go forward. We move compassionately and lovingly closer to each other. And that's very, very important. At the other end of this wonderful week of celebration, of religious commemoration, we look at Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is the feast of humility of all of us, Jews and Christians alike, looking at the ways in which we failed God and one another. You know, what are the things that we should have been doing for others that we did not do? Or was there an aspect of our life less attractive in creating relationship? And those are the two things that I remember. And I've spoken to many priests about this, as well as we just ended today. I'm on the road, as you know. I'm just coming from Cardinal Dolan celebrating the opening of the school year. And he did so in front of teachers and principals. And I remember when I was a young boy that the sisters, I had sisters in class, they said, remember, we don't remember anything that happened last year in this school. We remember only what is going on now. And I think that's a wonderful commemoration of the newness of this time of year, and in a special way for the Jewish community.
That was very powerful indeed, because most people are so busy holding on to the past that it clouds their vision for the future.
I agree, and don't we hold on too long? And you've asked me previously, and Rabbi, you know, why is there so much hatred in the world? Why is there so many wars? And that comes from, I think, not forgetting our grudges. You were victorious last time. I'm going to just lay in wait until I find that I have an opportunity to denigrate you. And I think that just dwelling in the past can be very destructive. However, you know, as in all things, it's a two-edged sword. Dwelling on the past sometimes restores us because it reminds us of the struggles that our ancestors dealt with and how they overcame them. And so the past can be an energizing force, you know. You look at the Jewish community particularly, and you think of how far the Jewish community has come over these thousands of years and all the sufferings they endured, and yet they overcame each and every one of them.
That is so true. So, like you say, two-edged. There's, of course, we should remember our history and what our people in every faith went through that we arrived at this point, but also to always keep an eye on the future and never give up that faith and hope.
Absolutely. And I think in this time, unfortunately, a lot of people are giving up hope. And it's unfortunate. And that's because they don't know history. They don't know that the power of human people to overcome great obstacles and great burdens to achieve a wonderful new day. And I think of, in that regard, Shimon Peres, who have left us and has gone to God of happy memory.
And let's just say he just passed last night, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard that news. You're the one. I have to go to you for the Jewish news.
well,
I hadn't heard that. You want to just give a brief acknowledgement of who he was?
Oh, well, he was there in the first days with Ben-Gurion, with Golda Meir. He was part of the effort to make the State of Israel a reality. And then he served two terms as Prime Minister, and then because of the absolute gratitude of the Jewish community in Israel, he was made president, which, as you know, is more of a ceremonial position, but he fulfilled that. But all through his life, though he had been involved in wars, he was always pleading for peace. He was with President Carter. He was with Clinton with the Oslo agreements. He's always was searching for peace with the Palestinian people, and in his words, peace for the whole of the Middle East. He spoke of peace, the need for peace with the Lebanese and with the Syrians. He had a global vision of men living together, raising their families with their wives, and letting children one day live in a place without any fear. I have great love and respect for him. I remember him and Yitzhak Rabin, and of course I was privileged to meet Menachem Begin many years ago. So all these men made great sacrifices, along with our wonderful Golda Meir, to make a better tomorrow. And so we can't forget the sacrifices they made in the past and be willing to make those same sacrifices today.
Absolutely. You know, when I think of them, of course, Israel's great, great leaders, but it also brings to mind people like Mother Teresa and her contributions, Martin Luther King,
yes,
and his contributions. So where you're such a role
model.
And
the most significant thing about both of those, they did not wait for somebody else to come with them. They went out. They broke forth. And if others came in with them, fine. If others did not, fine. But they had a vision, and they fulfilled that vision in themselves. And when they did, other people were drawn to them. They were drawn to the civil rights movement in the 60s with Martin Luther King. And certainly they were drawn to Mother Teresa. As you know, since we've spoken, Mother Teresa was canonized a saint in Rome. And it was a fabulous experience, because we also had a mass in her honor in New York City. And I was happy to be able to welcome many of our interreligious and ecumenical brothers and sisters to the cathedral. And the cardinal was delighted that they were there. In fact, he invited them into his house. And so they were part of our great joy, because this woman, she now has about 8,000 sisters throughout the world. I said mass for one group in the South Bronx the last Sunday, and they are poor. Make sure they are poor, and everything they have they give to those in need. They run a shelter for the homeless, as well as a daily soup kitchen for those who are in need of food. And so, you know, that's the great thing about humanity. Humanity can accomplish great things if it has courage and vision. You think of Israel. I think of Moshe Dayan. I think of so many leaders who brought about the powerful nation that is there, protecting Israel, protects the religious traditions of three Abrahamic faiths: the Jewish faith, the Muslim faith, and the Christian faith. Israel is just ours.
Absolutely. I always talk about you as my role model, and I just wish more people of faith had the relationship that you and Rabbi Potashnik have. Just as one little example, I know you go to Seder services with him on these high holy days. I know he goes to Christmas Mass with you on Christmas Eve. Why is that important, of people of all faiths connecting? And why specifically are these holidays have any relevance to people in the Christian faith?
Well, I think it's important that we celebrate together, because when we look at our sacred books, when we look at our history, we realize how in common we hold the love of God and the love of neighbor. And as you know, the popes have referred to Christianity and Catholicism in particular as the little brothers of the Jewish community. That you have a community that has shared with us the sacred texts that we have great faith in as well. Because Jesus came in the Christian faith does not mean that we forget Isaiah and Ezekiel and the Torah and the book of Genesis and Exodus. We remember, for example, at our Easter time, not only the resurrection of Christ, we remember Moses crossing the Red Sea to free Israel from the Egyptian oppressors. And we glory in oppression that we have overcome together in so many ways. So our mutual celebration. But I would like to go back to the basic part of your question that we talked about before, and that is what Joe Potashnik and I have is necessary for interreligious dialogue. We have a friendship. We have a trust of one another. One is not trying to gain upmanship over the other. And I think that's very, very important, because in our society today, so many people are trying to gain control of others. And that's the origin of war. You know, ISIS is trying to establish a caliphate that takes away all of the other nations of the Middle East. And we have confrontations with South Korea, North Korea, Russia, and the United States, and so many, because one tries to gain advantage. But in true dialogue, whether ecumenical with fellow Christians or interreligious, we have to realize that we are all one in God, and that we have differences, yes. We have things that we should be ashamed about, and that's why we have Yom Kippur and Good Friday. But there are other things that we should be building upon. And I think that's the glory of living in this world. We can always have an opportunity to change. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is that not the message of Rosh Hashanah? That though we might have failed in the past, we will have the best year possible, to quote Joyce Barry.
Again, how do we encourage people to look to each other of different faiths, from what we can learn of them, contribute to them, support them, as opposed to judge them for their differences, that they're different than us, so why would I be interested in what they have to say? How do we cross that bridge that's holding us separate?
Beautiful statement in the document called Nostra Aetate. Catholics always make our statements officially in Latin, and then the first two or three words become the official title of the document. But Nostra Aetate, which was written in Vatican II, which was written about our relationships with other faith experiences, they gave a beautiful phrase that I think could answer your question very closely. And that is that the Catholic Church honors the truth as it is found in other traditions. In other words, instead of looking out and trying to find what divides us, what is different about us, we sit down together and find out that there is a unity. Now, let me give you an example from a religion that you might not know too much about. I certainly don't know as much as I should. But a week and a half ago, I was with the Sikhs. The Sikhs, a lot of them live in India, but now they're in our country. And they have a concept called Serva, S-E-R-V-A. And the young lady explained to all of us that Serva means doing actions which bring no advantage to ourselves, but only an advantage to someone else. Now, you and I know that is the golden rule. And yet, we have it with the Sikh community as well. So we look at the Buddhist community. We look at the Sikh community. We look at each other's Christian communities. And of course, most earnestly, we look for us as Catholics with the Jewish community and see the truth that lies in both experiences. I love the Old Testament. You learn so much about God and man in that book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, do you remember the creation story, Joyce?
Yes.
And, well, once when God comes into the garden, and Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit. He says to them, to Satan, to the snake, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. You shall strike at his heel, and he will strike at your head, and you will strike at his heel. In other words, already in the book of Genesis, God is talking about how to reconcile man. He has no desire for retribution, desires only life. And of course, you had that beautiful phrase from Aaron, I do not know for others what they might choose, but for me and my family, choose life. What religious person cannot identify with that of the priest Aaron?
Absolutely. And when you said you learned so much from the Old Testament, I've never bought a Bible that didn't include the New Testament, because I really believe and appreciate and admire the teachings of Jesus. So every Bible in my house has the Old and the New Testament. And that's what the point of today's show is, folks, that we can open you all up, of whatever faith you are, to welcome and embrace someone else's faith rather than judge them or separate yourself from them.
Right. Exactly right.
You were in Rome recently, Father. Was that a
yes.
vacation, or were you there for any particular reason?
Well, it was to basically a vacation. I have developed relationships with two priests, one who works at the Vatican and one who works in Rome. And we get together once a year to celebrate all our birthdays. So a large part of it was vacation. But then I also spoke with the bishop, who is the secretary of the Council for Promoting Interreligious Dialogue. And I also spoke to some Catholic people who run international organizations for the Catholic community. And so I was able to share with them some of my concerns, and they were able to share and guide me in some of the work that I'm doing among the different communities.
I asked for a reason, and that reason was I am of Jewish faith, and I called you right before, relatively close to the date I was going to undergo major surgery for colon cancer. And yes, I did call the rabbi for his prayers, but I also made it a point to call you for your prayers, because that's how high a regard I have for you and your faith. And when I left a message, and I didn't know you were in Rome, and you called me back 5 minutes later from Rome, I was so touched and moved by that. I kept saying, are you home? And you kept saying, no, I'm in Rome. And it just meant so much for me to know that I was being prayed for in the holy city.
Oh, it's something
I will always remember.
Well, you know, prayer is the center of our lives. Because when we forget to pray, we begin to think that we can accomplish all things by ourselves. And people of faith realize in their prayer there is someone larger than us, someone wiser than us, someone stronger than us. And so I always make sure I pray. I also pray, you know, for my family and all, and God's been very, very good to me in my friends and in my family, and I rejoice in both.
Well, you are indeed an extraordinary person, not just because of your faith, but your humbleness, your caring, your support. I see you as interfaith. I see you as someone that provides hope and inspires people of all faiths. And on that note, before we move on, I just want to say that a really dear friend of mine, John Bell, who literally did a show only a week ago today called Overcoming Life's Greatest Obstacles, literally a week ago today, and he shared that show with my radio advisor, Stefan Ryback, and Stefan talked about his greatest obstacle was open heart surgery. And as I said, the show was just a week ago, a Wednesday, and Stefan was just literally coming out of that and recovering. It took months of rehab and all that he went through, and he gave great detail about that, and he said, we want to inspire people that whatever you're going through, look what we have gone through, the three of us. I had three major battles with cancer, three of them, uterine cancer, breast cancer, and colon cancer. And 3 days after the show, John Bell just found out that he has to go major heart surgery, and God bless him. He's 82 years young. He's a man of deep Christian faith. He's in the hospital now awaiting surgery. We don't know yet which day it is. He's going to have the chief of surgery at that hospital. He does Bible lessons on a weekly basis as a volunteer. And I ask you, Father, to take a moment and just pray for John Bell. I know when I told him last time that I mentioned you to him, he felt very, very grateful.
Right. Well, we pray for John, certainly, that he will receive the healing that God wants for him. And at 82 today, Joyce, is a new 70.
Yes, that's why I said he's 82 years young. He's very cool and very high-spirited.
We lost a priest just last year who lived to be 104. And so we are living longer, and we just have to make sure that through our faith we live better.
That we live better and that we attain some measure of peace. Folks, there are many ways that you can be optimistic, that you can be at peace. Follow your faith, follow prayers. Just the other day, a week ago, I saw a movie called Miracles from Heaven, and I'm someone who deeply believes in miracles. And what struck me about this movie, it was a true story, a 2016 movie that was true. It was starring Jennifer Garner. And for people who don't believe in miracles, for people who do, I highly recommend it. It was so moving, so touching, but surely it'll be a big booster in renewing your faith. So there are many ways you can do that via a Bible, via a priest, rabbi, whatever you believe in. You might not be a religious person, you might be highly spiritual. So whatever it is for you, and this show to some degree wants to make a difference in your life. We don't impose any religion or any belief on you. We just share what we believe will forward you towards peace and joy and happiness. And I want to invite you to listen to Beverly Nadler, who will share with you why you should be listening to us, not just today, but every day.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to my homepage at Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, Joyce Barry and Friends.com. And if you click under my picture on the upper left of the homepage, it says follow. And by doing so, you will get an email of every show, every guest, every topic. And so if you can't be with us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can hear any show, anytime. That's 24/7 in our archives. Going back to Rosh Hashanah, the significance of Rosh Hashanah, it's also being the day of judgment. And according to Jewish belief, throughout the year, God judges all human beings, and by the time of Rosh Hashanah, he decides whether they deserve to be inscribed in the Book of Life or not. Those who are inscribed in this book are rewarded with a new year of happiness. Christian friends, I know the significance and how important it is for them to go to church every Sunday. Is there something as regards to that, if they don't go, that there is a judgment on that, Father?
Well, in terms of Catholic Church law, there is a law that every Catholic must attend Mass every Sunday. In terms of other Christian traditions, they don't have such a thing. They encourage their people to be part of the faith community, the practicing community, but they don't have it as official as we do. And we would hope that people do come to church, not out of that sense of obligation by law, but a recognition what God has done for them in the course of the week and what inspiration they can receive during the Mass in the words of the scripture, in the homily of the priest, but also in the Eucharist, which is crucial in our faith experience, that will strengthen someone for the week that is coming up.
Because I heard it said, and this is why I asked you the question, that there are those with a very strong belief that if they don't go to church, if they miss a Sunday, they'll go to hell. I have heard that said. I like the way you said it, that you hope they go because they want to and believe in it rather than any kind of a threat. How do you want to address that?
Well, it's in the law of the canon law of the church. Canon law is legal. It does not make moral judgments. Morality goes back to the scriptures and to the church's teachings. And for example, we are like the Jewish community that calls upon our people to have each week a day of rest in which we honor God. Now, the way we do that in the legal thing is going to Mass. Now, if people are not renewing themselves in the divine presence, but treat every day alike. For example, when I was a boy in New York City, most of the stores would be closed, the vast majority. The only store that might be open is the corner deli and one drugstore. The drugstores took turns about opening on Sunday. But everybody else was closed. Now, and I know in Florida it's the same as New York, people go to shop on Sunday like a normal day, you know, of really no significance to us. You know?
Yes.
Now, the Jewish community has the same problem. My dear friends in B&H Camera, they had a big store. They're a big camera operation in New York. They close every Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. And they do not open until Sunday morning because they observe Sabbath.
Yes.
They're Orthodox. But other Jewish communities, they're like the Christian communities, and it's just another day. And this is distressing.
Yes,
because
I understand.
Again, we're pushing God out of our consciousness. So,
people in any faith, they do whatever, you know, feels right for them. And again, I don't judge anyone for whatever they believe in. What my the way I want to make a difference, once again, is just support people, whatever their beliefs, to respect other people for their beliefs.
That's absolutely true. And but that support sometimes, you know, becomes a little bit of controversial. You know, when we're dealing, for example, in modern society with questions of sexual ethics and gender and identity and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes that raises up the temperature of the dialogue to unacceptable, levels. And so we have to, even in those very difficult situations, remember the priority is to recognize the human dignity of each and every person.
Why is it so significant? Tell our folks, I know why, I want you to share. When you go around with the rabbi for whenever there's a crisis, when there's a rally, oftentimes I know you go together. Do you think by being so united that way it will inspire others to see how it makes a difference?
Oh, I think so, and I hope so. That's one of the reasons I think both he and I do it, to recognize that brothers of different faith experiences, different paths of life, can sit down together and be at peace with one another and recognize what the greater values are. I think it's very important. And one of the things that I think it's important, I'm hoping if people see this example, you know who must see the example, are members of our families, Catholic, Jewish, Christian, Sikh, Muslim, whatever, and imitate that. I found it very easy always to deal with the Jewish community because at our table, when I was growing up as a boy, my dad and mom would have at the table a variety of people, no matter what their faith experience, if they were in need or if they were neighbors who might not have what we have, they would be at our table. One of the beautiful families that I was very close to and was the Lappin family. And Meyer Lappin, by coincidence, owned a grocery store in Brooklyn. And my father would sell him bond bread. And they went on for years. And all of a sudden, Meyer Lappin buys the candy store in the neighborhood. Now, you've never met me, but you should know that I'm not a stranger to any candy store. But Meyer Lappin's became a great place for me to be. And he had a son about my age called Ira. Now, the Lappins would, maybe on Christmas, let's say, they would have the store open for a part of the day. And then when they closed the store down on that day, or maybe Thanksgiving, they would hightail it up to Ryan McQueenie's parents' house, and we would have all our feasts together. My mother would never think of having a Christmas or an Easter celebration or a Thanksgiving celebration without Mr. and Mrs. Lappin and their daughter and son.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. So you
kind of grew up this way.
That's
where I was grown up with. And so to be friends with Joe Potasnik is a no-brainer for me.
Yeah,
he's
I see that. Why is it, so it's out of that history that you enjoy going to the Seder services with him?
Absolutely. And not only that, but in New York, last year we had the Cardinal go to a Seder service at the AJC. Oh, I'm sorry, ADL. So many initials. ADL. And he and the
Tell
head of the
ADL. Tell our folks what ADL is.
Anti-Defamation League.
Right, okay.
And they were there with 15 children who were from Catholic school, 15 Jewish children, and 15 Muslim children. And the Seder was taking place with the Cardinal and with the ADL president.
Wow.
That's where you have to begin, with the young people, to teach them the uselessness of hatred. And I'm sure those young people will never forget it.
So I know, you know, that you do that and it's meaningful to you. On the other side, why is it meaningful to you when the rabbi goes with you to midnight mass on Christmas Eve? Why does that matter? You could be going with so many, you know, other fellow priests and everyone else. Why do you like having him there with you?
Because he honors us by his presence. He is coming to celebrate a feast that's very important to us. And he recognizes that importance, that we want to be together when important things happen. Why does a community gather for a wedding when they might not be the same faith experience, or they might not have too much in common, education-wise or economic-wise? It's because the event is important in and of itself. So Christmas, like the Seder meal, is important in and of itself. And so we honor our friends by attending them.
I have to say that I always wanted to attend Midnight Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral when I lived in New York. It was always something I wanted to do. Until finally one year I did exactly that. The only reason I was hesitant is because I'm such a morning person. I'm exhausted at night. I knew it would be a stretch for me to do that because I was never a night person. But I finally did it and met with a friend. I was stunned. It looked like thousands of people were there. Going into that church, it was one of the most beautiful institutions I've ever seen. It was huge and extraordinary. And I recall so well when we got to our seats and I sat down and I said to him, I'm probably the only Jewish person in here. And this gentleman behind me tapped me on the shoulder and he said, no, lady, I'm Jewish. And it was just such a mind-blowing experience about how extraordinary the service was, how moving it was. And oftentimes, you know, I really go deep with my friends that are of Christian faith to learn more and more and more about the faith, because I see so many similarities between Jewish people and Christian people. And I even did my college paper on the similarities of Jewish and Catholic holidays. Christmas, Hanukkah, the same. Passover, Easter, the same. Anything you want to say to expand on that?
No, I would certainly agree with you. I don't know what year you went to St. Patrick's, but there would always be a third Jew in the front row, and that was Ed Koch.
Oh, he might have been there, but I didn't see him. Wow.
Yeah. Ed Koch never, ever, ever missed Mass. Now, you want to talk about a friendship. I don't know how much you know about Cardinal O'Connor, but when he became to New York, he was from Philly. He became a New Yorker instantaneously. And he and Ed Koch became very, very close friends. And when Cardinal Connor received the red hat, there was a big dinner in Rome. And Ed Koch was on a dais with the Cardinal. And at that time, they were having great differences of opinions on different policies of the city. In fact, we were in court. And the Cardinal gets up and says, you know, New York is the greatest city in the world. You might ask me why. I say it because two very best friends can sue the hell out of each other in court. And it's true. Their friendship never interfered with their official responsibilities. But it was a solid, solid friendship despite very, very divergent viewpoints. And they're on top for me.
I have to share one very, very funny story about Ed Koch. I was going into a restaurant for dinner one evening, and he was walking out of the same door that I would be going in. He just had opened the door. And I looked up. I said, oh, my God, you look just like Ed Koch. And he said, my mother would say the exact same thing. Yeah, that was really funny. I said, that was my first reaction. You look just like him. He said, funny, my mother would say the same thing. So that is a great story also. And he always got he got a front row seat that was saved for him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And Ed Koch, on the 10th anniversary of O'Connor's death, there was a special ceremony before Mass. And Koch spoke at the cathedral. And he was very, very frank about the influence Cardinal O'Connor had, because he told about a difficult political period he had when a lot of his commissioners had been indicted on a very serious thing, and he just wanted to end it all. And he said it was only because O'Connor was there sitting with him, encouraging him, that he was able to go on.
Wow, that is amazing.
That's what Interface is all about.
I do love your stories. I just want to go back a moment to when you were in Rome. I know there was a time you did meet with the Pope. I tell everyone they have to check out your Facebook page. I forget, is it under Father Brian McWeeny or Brian McWeeny? When you go
under
to Facebook.
Brian McWeeny. I
have gone from it from time to time, but offhand I wasn't sure. Father Brian, B-R-I-A-N, McWeeny,
right.
M, capital M, small c, capital W-E-E-N-E-Y. And I say you have to go to Father Brian's page to see him shaking hands with the Pope. Now, this is, in my mind, the people's Pope. Everybody loves this Pope. Everyone relates to this Pope. What is special for you about this Pope in particular?
Well, I think you put your finger on it, that he's special to everyone because everyone is special to him. He spends many, many hours visiting with the most destitute in the city of Rome, and he communicates worldwide with people who are most in need. And you can see that. You would never think this is a man in his 80s. And yet he is. And when you talk about Rabbi Potasnik and myself, this week is a very special week because a year ago this week, we were in his presence in New York.
The rabbi was there too?
Oh, could I have anything without my rabbi there? No.
Oh, wow.
Not.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And we had a beautiful interfaith service at the 9/11 memorial with over 450 priests, brothers and sisters, with rabbis, imams, leaders of every single religious experience. And it was a very special time.
Well, in history, I felt the first one that people reacted to that way, she's for all of us, was Princess Diana, the people's princess. And this is the next time that we all feel the same way. He is the people's pope. He's amazing. And, I mean, we always had respect for the pope. I believe people of all faiths always respected the pope. But this one touches our heart very deeply. He's so humble. He's so real. He's so down to earth.
Well, I would just want to go back for a minute to someone else who died around the same time as the princess died, Mother Teresa. And she received a state funeral from the government of India. Now, Christians in India are less than 1%. And yet, people of other faiths looked at her and saw person who truly was honoring humanity in the manner in which she lived. They did not believe the same thing she did, but they certainly saw and honored what her faith led her to do in her whole life.
And of course, we all know that Mother Teresa and Princess Diana had an extraordinary relationship. There are countless photos of the two of them together.
Yes, indeed, but I have to be honest with you. I think in some of those photos, probably Mother Teresa was chastising Diana.
Oh, well, I wouldn't know that.
Because she was always wanting people to be serious about humanity. And I'll just tell a very quick story about Mother Teresa. We're almost getting to the end. And we gave, the Knights of Columbus gave her an award, the Gaudium et Spes Award, and it was worth $150,000. And she was there at the dinner and everything, and she bent over to the Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus and said, "How much were all those flowers on the altar and on the tables?" And he told them, how much I could have used that for the poor. So the next day, in addition to $150,000, she was sent a check to cover the same cost of the flowers and everything was given to her mission. She was always desirous of serving the poor.
So given all of that, I don't understand where would the chastisement come from?
Because sometimes people think too much of themselves, and they're generous. It's Pope John Paul once said, "We must give from our substance, who we are, what we have, rather than from our excess. Okay, I'll be kind and charitable when something's left over. No, you have to give of your substance." I think that's what Mother Teresa would be talking about.
Hmm.
You have to be truly sacrificial.
But didn't she do everything, Diana, in her power to bring attention to the homeless, to the poor, to the starving? Didn't she in every way try to make a difference?
I'm not chastising her. I'm saying that's the way Mother Teresa would look at it, okay? I'm not
I understand.
I'm not in the chastisement business, especially with somebody who cannot defend herself. Yeah.
Yes, I understand. It just took me as a surprise because I saw many pictures of them shaking hands, embracing. So I couldn't think of any reason why they weren't really fighting for the same things.
Well, we'd have to talk. It would take another hour and a half to talk about that.
Understood. It just came as a surprise.
Yeah.
Because, again, Mother Teresa was so revered, we were very happy when she attained sainthood. So, Father, as we wind down here, what would you say to our audience? What message would you leave with them?
Well, my message basically is to truly, for all of us, to honor this time of the year, to honor it by reflecting on the manner in which God has shared with us his bounty, has given to us so much, and to keep ahead of our eyes and ears the needs of others, and if we have failed in the past to be as generous as God wants us to be, that we spend this new year trying to rectify the past. And certainly on Yom Kippur, we will be praying for those who have gone before us. I remember today especially President Shimon Peres and so many others who gave their life for freedom in Israel, but also who are giving their lives for freedom in our own country and who are our veterans and so many people like that. It's a year for this is a time of the year for reflection and renewal, not only repentance, but recommitment.
Absolutely. And I would appreciate if you would give our worldwide audience one of your heartfelt prayers.
Well, I would keep in mind especially John Bell, but not only John, but all those who are facing health crises, that God will watch over them and assist them as they struggle to maintain their lives on this earth, that they receive in God's will a cure, and that all of us will be more greatly appreciating of God's presence in our life, of that divine spark that monitors all of us, that strengthens all of us, that binds us all together. Amen.
Amen. And folks, first I want to thank from the bottom of my heart, you, Father Brian. I am so grateful to you. I love when you're on our show. I truly do. You have an open invitation to be on our show anytime you have any message you want to get out. And count on me to call on you from time to time, every time I want you on the show, which is all the time. So I don't wait for your call. And folks, this is my prayer for all of you, my personal prayer. Make this the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May this be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And to you especially, John Bell, may your life be fraught with miracles starting right here, right now. Folks, we invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you could do that starting now to the Joyce Barry Mash. God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.
My mom has a permanently stuck in the 80s thing. We're talking teased up feathered hair, acid wash denim jacket, and shoulder pads. So many shoulder pads. But I just got a new phone from AT&T. And check this out. I got a second phone to gift my mom. So now, she can finally ditch her old one for a phone that can actually stream all the 80s shows she loves.
Come into an AT&T store and find out how to get a smartphone on us. AT&T. More for your thing. That's our thing. See store for details.
Here's how to play Sip, Peel, Win at Dunkin'. Just sip, peel, win.
I want a doormat.
Look more closely.
I want a dog mat?
Put on your reading glasses.
I want a donut.
There you go. Enjoy a large or extra large coffee for your chance to win from millions of prizes, like JetBlue travel certificates, Fandango movie tickets, or Fanatics gear. Just sip, peel, win at Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends 10/15/18 or while supplies last. For game, peace, and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com.